Better Leaders, Better Schools, episode number 20.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
And he says, if you don't design your career, someone else will. And I would even add, if you don't design your life, someone else will design your life. Hey, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Better leaders, do you need some winning leadership phrases? Download my free gift to you, the 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. The 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders is an MP3 where I share a variety of phrases that have served me so well over the years in all my leadership positions. Get it now for free by texting phrases to 33444. That's phrases, P-H-R-A-S-E-S, to 33444, or by visiting the website betterleadersbetterschools.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now it's time for some 5-star reviews. James Jim Daniels writes, Educator, 5 stars. Great and inspiring podcast for educators. Daniel's down-to-earth style, passion for education, knowledge of the field, and of course, his excellent guests all combine into an informative and enjoyable experience. As an aspiring principal, I have found this podcast to be more a wealth of great advice and a great source of research and learning. You'll find yourself taking notes and hitting the bookstore to grab all the titles and authors that Daniel and his guests reference. I come away from each podcast smarter, better informed, ready for the next one. Bravo, Daniel. Jim, thanks so much for writing this rating and review. We've connected over email. I love the work that you're doing as a teacher in China, and I know that you're an aspiring principal coming back to the States, so I'm looking forward to working with you and helping you materialize that dream. And again, you're listening. This rating and review is not taken for granted. I really appreciate you.
Okay. How's the volume? Is it good?
The volume's great. This is the best you've ever sounded. We're good. We're recording. So, you know, just like in real life, if you think you made a mistake or whatever, just let me know. We can edit it out and all that sort of stuff. And don't be shy, Ibe. You could be loud.
Got jokes today. Got jokes.
Got a few jokes, you know, just based on listening.
That's good. Daniel's filled with the holiday spirit out here. Cracking jokes.
That's right. So tell me, you know, are you traveling at all over the holidays? Let's let the listeners know. Ibe, my friend, are you going anywhere over the holidays?
Yeah, so I'm going to be taking a tour of the East Coast, going to Boston and D.C. To visit my wife's side of the family. So we're still getting used to this thing where when I was younger, it would just be wherever my family goes, I'll just show up, right? Where now it's like it's double duty. Yeah. So it's a lot of work out here. But gotcha. It's fun. It's completely worth it.
So how do you make the choice of who you visit? Is it like you flip a coin? You know, heads is her family, tails is your family, or what?
I mean, it's an evolving conversation. it's something where if there's an important event going on in one of our families, we really try and make an effort to spend a significant time with that side of the family. And so it turns out that there's a christening on Jasmine's side of the family. So we just took the opportunity to say, hey, let's just spend a little bit longer there. And what's nice is my family, they live relatively closer to me than Jasmine's side of the family. So we try and see them sporadically through the year.
Nice, nice.
Name one Christmas wish that you have for this year.
A Christmas wish, man. Well, I'm really excited about what we're doing here with Better Leaders, Better Schools, and you know, I just hope that we could impact more people and try to build the leadership capacity of more school leaders. Right now, we've been growing every single week, every single month. I looked at our download stats in December. It's been the largest it's ever been. We're on track to getting 2,000 downloads in a month, which we've never done. So that'd be pretty cool. So it's more about impact, better leaders, better schools. That'd be, I think, my Christmas wish. If we could get per episode, like, I don't know, double what we've gotten. So like 400 to 500 per episode. Over the first 4 weeks of their launch, that would be sweet. So we'll see. Or maybe I'll just do a crazy Christmas wish and 10x it all. So instead of 200 downloads, we get 2,000 per episode. That'd be crazy, I think.
Go big or go home. Go big or go home.
That's right. And in Kosa in South Africa, you say it like this, Kuyahanjwa.
What does that mean? Go big or go home?
Yeah, it means go big or go home. And that one nice. School that I served, you know, I went out there 3 times and trained a bunch of teachers. The school we were working with was actually a private Christian school. And when we went to their church service, they had this poster of just a monster truck. I thought it was America. And they had this big monster truck and it had the word Kuyahanjwa on it. And I asked what it meant. And it meant go big or go home, which was, you know, I should figure that out. It was written also on the poster. and it had some verse from the Old Testament. I can't remember what it was, but I did memorize the word. I always love the sound of it. And I love the message of going big, go home. So let's do that. Better leaders in 2016. Kuyahanjwa.
Let's go.
Let's go.
And I think in keeping with that, one of the big initiatives that we want to do in this episode is to really empower our listeners and empower them to think big in 2016 and to be able to execute. So Daniel, what are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah, we're going to break it up into a couple parts where we're going to share just really very, very big ideas, share those with the listeners, and then we'll try to get a little more micro with it and share some strategies and some examples from our own lives. Also, before we get started too, I just want to give a huge shout out to Aaron Walker. He was on episode 12, and Tom Schwab, he was on episode 9. I threw out a question in an online group that Aaron has called the community. And I asked, you know, kind of just for some things that have worked for them in the past in terms of New Year's resolutions, since we're at that time of the year. So they both gave me answers that I really, really liked. So I massaged those things or just revised them a little bit to meet, you know, our audience's needs. But they definitely influence what we're about to share today.
All right. So the first big idea for being able to kind of set out and accomplish a task or a goal that you have in mind is to start with the end in mind or backwards map. Daniel, can you talk a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah, that's an easy one, IB, so thanks for throwing that softball to me. But backwards mapping, listen, if you're a school leader, you should really know what that is. If you don't know, that's okay. So I'm going to share that with you. I'm not going to shame you or embarrass you. But no, seriously, let's not laugh at these guys. They might not know. backwards mapping, starting with the end of the mind, I first came across that when I started using Understanding by Design. We'll link that up in the show notes. But that's a way of very strategically designing unit plans and how to prepare a unit study for your students. Also, when you are working with SMART goals, you are creating a goal that's specific, measurable, it's actionable, it's realistic and time-bound. And you want to think about what you want to accomplish, right? So I'm going to Destin, Florida over this holiday season, and I'm going to be there for a while, celebrate the New Year's with my wife and some friends. Since we know where our destination is, that dictates everything about how we get there. So when we think about what kind of experience we want in terms of where to stay, do we want to fly, drive, train, boat, you know, however that is, it's starting with the end in mind, knowing your destination. So I think we do this pretty well in schools, unit plans, SMART goals, and that sort of thing. But how often do we do it in our personal lives or our professional lives when we just want to improve in whatever area of our leadership, right? So we're just really encouraging everybody to start with the end in mind and to backwards map.
All right. Just to kind of follow that up, Daniel, I have a question for you. But let's say you have someone who's, especially is becoming more and more popular these days to go back to school and do it and try and get a degree or really improve themselves through the education system by taking other classes. Where you're in the middle of kind of thinking about your career and you want to do more or you see yourself doing more, but you don't really know kind of where your end goal is. Like, so I guess, for example, for me, I am in medical school. I'm going to be finishing up the next couple of years. I get this question 10 times a day. Oh, you're in medical school? So what are you going to be? What are you going to do? And I would be lying to you if I said, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to do. But at the same time, I know that there's certain things that I like and I don't like, and I know that I feel them very strongly. So how do you, I know you've like done various programs and stuff, but how do you kind of integrate that when you're thinking about a goal that might be a little bit more abstract and not as concrete?
Yeah, I think that's the power of first getting really clear on who you are. So one thing I heard, and we didn't necessarily prepare to talk about this in the podcast, but do a review of 2015. Summarize all the major things you accomplished, and also identify, too, all the big, just boneheaded mistakes you made. Get clear on who you are. So do a review of 2015. Like I said, we didn't prepare that for this podcast, so I can't, you know, off the top of my head, do that for my 2015. I would also encourage you to take some personality type assessments. And there's a variety of those out there. There's the StrengthFinders 2.0. So that one I've had success with, and that really gave me a lot of clarity about who I am. There's something out there, you know, the DISC profile. I just took that. And I'm a high D for anybody that has taken the DISC profile. But that gives you real great clarity on who you are. But what I really valued about that assessment was it told me, here's where you do well. Here's the type of things you would really succeed in. Here's what you should avoid. Here's how you should communicate with other types of people. Here's how you like to be communicated to. And so there's just a ton of information there. You know, I wish our whole administrative team, the whole school could do that. And I think that would give me a lot of clarity about how to serve others better, and even myself. The final personality assessment out there that I've had a little bit of experience with is the How to Fascinate assessment. There's a book. There's all sorts of stuff. She has some very cheap reports that you can purchase, and then some much larger things. Just depends on how deeper you want to go. So I think, one, get clear on who you are, and two, find a group of people that you know, like, and trust that can stay objective about who you are and really speak into your life to identify blind spots that you're not aware of in terms of mistakes you continue to make. People that can help shed a light on that, help you improve on your weaknesses, but also to encourage you in your strengths as well. You know, there's a variety of ways of doing that. You know, through church, there's different type of small groups you can join. Professionally, you might be able to just throw it out there to other administrators and see if they want to form a group and just talk about what's going well, what's not. There's online groups too, called Masterminds, which I'm a part of, and these are normally a paid for type group, but we get together once a week online and we just, you know, share each other what our goals are, what our obstacles currently are. Every guy gets something called the hot seat once a week. And that's just 30 minutes of time of talking about everything you're experiencing and then getting an opportunity to listen to the others in the mastermind, you know, identify good questions to ask you to help you think through it, or just objectively kind of give you the truth, which sometimes you need, which will help promote your self-growth. I was going to say, you know, we're not currently offering that Better Leaders, Better Schools. That is something I'm very interested in, of having maybe a private Facebook group where we can get together and just chat and have a forum, or also a mastermind. That would take a lot more time, and that would definitely be a paid for service. Not offering it yet, but maybe if there's enough interest out there, we can start something like that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of really great content in what Daniel was saying. And I think two big things that I just wanted to summarize real fast is this idea of figuring out like who you are and your strengths and your weaknesses. I think we've said this many times in our previous episodes, so we can't emphasize it enough. It's hard to set a goal if you don't really know who you are and what your personality type is. And then the second thing is have the power of a community, being able to work with people who have similar interests. Remember tribe? Remember we talked about that several episodes ago? I think it's very critical and it's very important. And it allows you not only to have support, but accountability, because there are going to be times, as we talk about a little bit later, in trying to achieve and implement these goals, that it can be difficult to, you might hit a low point or it might be a little bit frustrating, and having a mentor to kind of make you, keep you accountable and finishing that goal is like really important. Now, so let's say that you've come up with a goal, Daniel, and now you are so excited, you go to sleep, you're so energized, and then you wake up and you have a near panic attack because you're like, I have so many things to do. How am I going to get this all done? Daniel, what would you say to that person? How would you calm them down? Would you call 911? No, the answer is no, you wouldn't.
You know, I might pour them a drink. Their favorite. Yeah, calm them down that way, you know. We go for a nice hard workout or a run. You know, if I've run 26 miles with you, my friend, I'd be that'll calm everybody down. You don't have any energy after that. Let me step back just for a second, though. I do want to answer your question in terms of, I think you're asking how to achieve your goals. Is that right?
Well, say it one more time.
I was saying
I was too busy relaxing out here.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. But, I think you were asking kind of how to achieve your goals if you're feeling a sense of pressure because there's too many. Is that correct?
Right. So kind of thinking about like how to organize like the different activities, like how to organize, like kind of chunking that.
Sure. Yeah, so I am going to answer that question. I do want to go back to what you mentioned about tribes. This is just very quick. So recently I joined the Edu Podcast Network, and you can get there, edupodcastnetwork.com. And that has just a whole bunch of great podcasts about education. So definitely encourage you to check that out. But another tribe I just joined, and I'm so thankful for that, and I want to just share it with you guys. There's a Twitter chat every Saturday at 8:30 in the morning Central Standard Time, and it's hashtag lead up chat. This chat is rocking. It's easily the best Twitter chat I've ever participated in, and it just has fantastic, phenomenal people that want to push the button in education and definitely innovate and do what's right for kids. So check that out. Saturdays, 8:30 Central Standard Time in the morning, or you could go to their website, leadupnow.com. But love everybody I've interacted with there, and I hope that you'll join us on those Twitter chats. So in terms of goals and being overwhelmed and how to chunk it, just like backwards mapping with UBDs and SMART goals, you want to chunk it in terms of time. So you could think about that in schools. It could be the first quarter, second quarter, third, fourth quarter. It could be financial quarters, which are 3 months in length. You might want to go smaller, because if you can run after goals like they're a sprint, you might actually get yourself out of the way from accomplishing those goals and just give all your energy and effort toward them. So maybe a 4-week goal or a 6-week goal might work. But I definitely encourage people to chunk the time. So you know where you want to end up, then look at how much time you think that's going to take and give it, let's say, 4 or 6 weeks or whatever, and chunk that time to accomplish your goals.
Right. And I completely agree. And here I cannot emphasize enough from my own personal experience. This is where it's so critical to know yourself and know when to utilize kind of outside resources. I have learned the hard way that I am not the best at chunking and setting realistic goals. And then what happens? You don't achieve the goal and you feel really bad about yourself and you lose all your momentum. What I am pretty good at is kind of setting the big idea, the big goal. So what does that mean for me? That's meant that in projects that I've been involved with, I look for people that are very detail oriented. For example, Daniel's wife Erica, is extremely detail oriented. She will be able to, she was able to help me in one of the projects that we were both involved in to really make sure that our overall goal was kind of, if you will, kind of fleshing out the details to make sure that we were able to get from point A to point B. Or that might mean utilizing a mastermind group or some other accountability to kind of help you evaluate what's realistic and not realistic. Do you agree, Daniel?
Oh, yeah, that's so good what you shared there. And the one thing I really want to focus on is how you got a lot of value from working with my wife. She's so smart, isn't she? No, but the point is, the point is she complimented your gifts, right? And right. Again, going back to the DISC profile I just recently took, it helped me realize something I didn't even know about myself. And that was that I'm sort of big picture too. And I don't really want to discuss necessarily the details of how we're going to get there. Like, I'm not interested in process. I'm interested in results. So if I know I want to inspire leaders, right? If that's the main goal, then I'm going to put in place what I think I need to have that happen. The problem is sometimes I don't think through all the little details of how to get there, and that could cause me trouble. Now, if I'm hiring, right? Let's say Better Leaders, Better Schools is hiring. We're not. We don't even make money yet. So, but if we were, I would hire somebody super, super, super detail oriented so we can cast the vision of what we want to accomplish. And then I would get out of that person's way so they can say, here's the blueprint of how I think we could get there. And then we would execute on that. So again, it's just knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses, and trying to bring people on the team that are going to complement your weaknesses, not build up your strengths because you've already got that. So find people that do well what you suck at. That's what I'm telling you. And that's how Erica helped you, right, Ivy?
Exactly. Exactly. So that's good. This has been such a good episode so far. I'm really vibing with Daniel right now.
We vibing. Awesome.
Vibing. So the next thing to think about is integrating the writing process into this big idea when you're trying to set, and achieve a goal. I know for me that oftentimes I'll be really excited about something and I'll work it all out in my head. Or so I think. And then, you know, I'll wake up the next day or the next week and be, well, I'm obviously not sleeping for a week straight, but a week later, I'll come back and realize that there's certain things I just don't remember or certain things that, aspects of that task I'm trying to achieve that, just aren't as familiar to me anymore. So Daniel, can you kind of comment on, the importance of the writing process when you've got your goal and you're trying to, achieve it and implement it?
Absolutely. To me, a goal is nothing when it's just an idea, right? And when you put that goal on paper, it becomes a little bit more of a reality and a little bit scarier. When you take that idea that you wrote down and you told somebody, then it becomes a bigger reality and absolutely frightening. And that's really what I want to encourage you to do. Write down these goals. So the writing process, the first step, just have a brain dump. Don't evaluate anything that you write down because you're just going to slow the whole process. So write down as many goals as you can for 2016. Write them down quickly and do not evaluate. Then after you have written 5-10 minutes and you've filled up a whole page of paper in your journal or two or whatever, or you know you've hit your limit, you have no more ideas in terms of goals, then go through, evaluate, and prioritize. And we've talked a lot about essentialism on the podcast. I wrote a huge, huge blog post about essentialism. I don't have the URL memorized. So if you go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/blog and put in the search bar essentialism, it'll pop up. But it's the ultimate guide to essentialism. That's for sure. Buy the book if you don't have time to read the report. But the whole point is that there's this dichotomy of what truly is essential. And the author calls that the vital few, and what's non-essential, what he calls the trivial many. So after you've brain dumped, start to evaluate, prioritize, and I would encourage the listener to take out as many of the goals then as possible and really identify which are the vital few. I would say whittle that list down to your top 10, then your top 5, definitely a top 3. And if you're going crazy essential, maybe just the top goal for the year. If you accomplish it, that's great. Then you can look at what you crossed off your list, what was number 2, and go after that. But get ruthless after eliminating what's the trivial many and get to the vital few. Let me share a couple stats with you, and then I'm going to be quiet here. Write it down. So I'm going to link up this this research post. But Dr. Gail Matthews from the Dominican University, she found that you are 42% more likely to complete a goal if it's written down. And we talked how goals become absolutely frightening when you tell somebody. This is the power of community. You find a buddy and tell them. Research shows that you're 70% more likely to complete if you share with a friend. So both of those articles will be linked in the show notes. Again, these online communities like masterminds, just anywhere you could find accountability. Maybe it's being a part of the lead up chat that we mentioned, but finding a group of people that's going to know you, encourage you, love you, and challenge you, you will realize your goals that way. Ivy and I, participated in a marathon this last year. I got hurt, wasn't able to finish, but I finished the 2 years before that. I don't know about you, Ivy, but those long runs were way easier when I was running far behind you because you're so fast, but with somebody similar to my speed. But isn't it easier when you can do hard stuff with people as opposed to by yourself?
Definitely. You know, it was funny. It was funny because during the marathon, I tried to exhibit an air of humility, but deep down inside, I was really competitive.
Yeah, you were like, man, I'm the fastest dude out here.
Yeah, you're right. No, but I had a time in mind that I was pretty confident that I could really hit. And I got through 13 miles and all of a sudden I experienced the worst leg cramp in my entire life. And it moved from my right leg to my left leg. And I was kind of faced with the decision, am I just going to bow out and stop now? And still it would be fine if I stopped, you know, it wouldn't be that hard on myself, or I could be stubborn and try and finish. And because I'm a stubborn person, I decided to try and finish. So I had to do a combination of running and walking. And I think what was really my favorite part of the marathon was we were on a team called Team World Vision. It's all about providing permanent clean water solutions to communities all across Africa. And there's hundreds of people that were on our team. And what was so awesome is that there were several people that literally ran with me, even though I was running at such a slow pace compared to like what I was aiming to do. And you know, at mile 20 and mile 21, that's the hardest point. That's when you're like, I can't, I don't know if I can go on any longer, but they wouldn't leave me. They wouldn't leave me alone. They made sure that I still stayed with them and eventually finished. Now this illustrates the importance of community. And when you are in a tribe with everyone's towing this similar weight, they have similar passions, and you guys can encourage each other, it means that they can really be there to help you celebrate both the high points and the low points.
Absolutely. And just a few couple more tips before we get to the strategies. These are kind of strategies themselves, but I want to encourage the listener to think about their environment. And is there any obstacles that are getting in the way of your goal? So a goal might be to lose weight and you have a ton of candy in your house. That would be an environmental obstacle to attaining that goal. You know, if you're trying to get to the gym every morning, packing your bag the night before is going to help you out. If you want to start journaling, and I think you should, maybe you put the journal next to something you always do almost routinely, right? So if you have a dog and you take the dog out in the morning for a walk, and then right by the dog food's your journal, I guarantee you're going to feed that dog and start journaling because you have thought about your environment and influenced yourself in a positive way. Treat yourself too. So Ivy and I encourage you to get yourself something as a treat. And if you accomplish a goal or accomplish a part of your goal, Definitely want to celebrate that and get yourself a little something. Focus on progress and not perfection, because listen, nobody's perfect, and you want to celebrate, again, the small wins. So on your way to accomplishing the big goal, just celebrate progress and enjoy the journey.
Yeah, these are all really good tips. And just to summarize, we've talked about several big ideas. First, in terms of knowing, trying to find ways to learn more about yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, your personality, and there are a variety of tools, as we mentioned earlier in the show, that you can do that with. Not being too overwhelmed by your big idea, your big goal, and you can minimize that stress level by breaking it down into sub goals and chunking it by week. So what am I going to do over the course of 2 weeks, 4 weeks, etc. And then also the importance of community. They can both provide support. Other people can both provide support as well as accountability. And that's really critical in achieving our goals, because it's so easy come March to just be so frustrated that you're not accomplishing your goal and just say, whatever, I'm done. But when you have someone that's with you, challenging you and supporting you, it becomes a lot harder to quit. So at this stage, stand up, stretch.
Better leaders, I need your help. I invest time, creativity, and money to bring you the blog and podcast whose sole purpose is to develop your leadership capacity. I'm asking you to take a more active role in the show. Will you become a sponsor and help me cover the cost of creating, producing, and hosting the blog and podcast? In the show notes, there is a link where it asks you to become a patron of the show. I'm asking you to donate anywhere between $1 to $5 a month to help offset the cost of creating, producing, and publishing Better Leaders, Better Schools. At $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every 60 days. If you have gotten any type of value from this show and would like to invest in Better Leaders, Better Schools, then please click the Patreon link. If you can't financially support the show at this time, then please consider leaving a rating and review, which helps the podcast reach more listeners. And now on to a tragic and sad note. On December 26, 2015, my former student Quintonio Legrier was shot 7 times and killed by a Chicago police officer. At 19 years old, his life ended much, much too early. Quintonio was a great kid. He had outstanding grades at my high school. He was studying engineering at Northern Illinois University. Quintonio was a founding member of the Brooks High School Marathon Team, where we partnered with Team World Vision to bring clean drinking water to kids less fortunate in Africa. This was the type of kid that Quintonio was. He ran hundreds of miles selflessly and helped raise money to benefit those people that he didn't even know halfway across the world. He had a heart of gold. My father was a Chicago police officer, so I know firsthand the challenges that law enforcement face on a day-to-day basis helping protect our society. But I also know that Quintonio's actions did not warrant lethal force and the tragic loss of his young life. Quintonio lived in poverty, as the majority of my students do, and so his family needs help paying for his funeral. We started a GoFundMe page to cover the cost of Quintonio's funeral. And it would mean so much to me if you would consider donating to cover the costs. There's also a link in the show notes for covering the cost of his funeral. And if you would, again, consider giving a donation there. I gave some of my money towards it. Our goal is to raise $15,000. Right now, we're almost at $4,000. I know that we can fully raise the amount to cover the whole cost of his funeral, and that would be a tremendous blessing to his family, and it would mean the world to me. Again, there's a link in my show notes, and now back to the show.
We are now going to transition to strategy. So we've talked about the big idea, and now we want to focus a little bit more on how do I make these goals a reality? What are some concrete ways of implementing these goals?
Yeah, so one of the first things I really admire is this guy named Dan Miller. And I'll link up some of his work in the show notes as well. So Dan has a great podcast called 48 Days, and that's also his official website. And really, he wants people to live a powerful and fulfilled life. And so I'll link up his website, 48 Days, on there. I'll link up his podcast and at least one of his books so that you could check that out if you want. But anyways, he does something super cool when he's thinking about the next year. He identifies 15% of the things he's already involved in and cuts them because he believes that you can't add great things to your life unless you first subtract some good things or less than good things from your life. So the first very concrete step that you can take, list out all those major things that you participate in and cut out 15% to make room for some new initiatives. A second strategy I want to give you, and we actually started to touch on this, and this is from the author of Essentialism, Greg McKeown. And he says, if you don't design your career, someone else will. And I would even add, if you don't design your life, someone else will design your life. So I briefly touched on this. This is where I got the idea from. But review the last 12 months. Again, write down the major things you worked on, your major accomplishments. Write down the major mistakes you made as well. Look over your list. Why are these things you included meaningful? And what would you do at your school? Ask yourself this question. What would you do at your school if you could accomplish anything? And when we talked about having that brain dump and don't evaluate, just list everything like crazy, that's a good question to start your journaling and brainstorming process with. Again, what would you do at your school if you could accomplish anything? And I mentioned this already, but very quick review. Go back and think over that question. Did you really go for it? Write down the largest, biggest goals you've ever had and start whittling down the list after you've done the brain dump. Get it down to 10 things, to 5 things, and down to 3. Cross it off so that you only have 3 or less goals to go after. The last strategy that we have for you here is something that our pastor, Bill Hybels, came up with, and it's called the 6x6. I guess he wrote about it in a book called Axiom, and I didn't read that book, but I saw him give this speech at a global leadership summit. So I will link up the book so you could pick it up if you want, and I'll describe what a 6x6 is. There's also a really great article about it, so I'll link that up in the show notes as well if you want to read. But essentially, a 6x6 is what are 6 goals you can accomplish, or 6 smaller goals you can accomplish over the next 6 weeks. So it's that goal. It's writing it down. It's time focused. And then you got to figure out, you know, how you're going to make it happen. I wrote down 6x6 for school and personal. I'm going to share that with you. And I think IB has one he wants to share too. But in terms of school, one of my goals is to continue to focus on an intervention assistance team. And this is the team that responds to students that are struggling at our school. So that's something that I'm very passionate about and probably one of the more important things that I work on. So that I have to focus in on that. What does that mean? I need to figure out how I can measure it, what it looks like week by week, but that's going to be a focus. I want to complete my formal observations. So I know how many I need to do over 6 weeks. I'll break that down as well. I want to have more informal observations, and I'm going to visit all teachers at least once every 2 weeks. My friend Justin Bader, he was episode 7. He has the 21-day instructional challenge. I'm currently taking that, and I'll tell you what, this is a free course. It's over 21 days, and Justin did just an awesome job on it. So I encourage you to check that out, the 21-day instructional challenge, if you haven't. And that's really what spurred a fire under me to get into every classroom at least once every 2 weeks. He teaches you how to do it. I want to connect with students. 5, communicate to staff and parents. And I want to read 2 leadership books, which will be a challenge for me because of time, over 6 weeks. Personally, I want to work out 3 to 4 times a week. I want to be more intentional with my beautiful wife, Erica. We already have a date night, but I want to start doing something. And she actually appreciated this. Episode 15 was about gratitude. Talked about the power of the 5-minute journal. Well, I added that to my date. And when we do this after dinner pretty consistently. And I say, Erica, what's 3 things that you're grateful for today? And at first, I mean, you can laugh about this. You can imagine how tough.
Boy. Yes. Oh boy.
Yeah. The look she gave me when I said that. But would you believe, Ivy, she says she actually loves doing this with me now. And, what a great thing to do with your significant other or a close friend. Like, just what are you grateful for? I want to clean for 10 minutes each day because, believe it or not, I hate cleaning and I don't like helping out around the house. So that's a goal.
Yeah, it shows when I come to your place. Oh, hey. What a burn. A burn.
That hurt. Ouch. Social media. I want to grow my network and maintain relationships. I mentioned the lead up chat every Saturday morning, but there's just so many cool people I'm meeting on LinkedIn and Twitter. So I want to just continue to connect with them. I want to write 6 blog posts and record and edit 6 podcasts. The podcast won't be a problem. The blog posts will. So those are my school and personal. IB, you want to share your 6x6?
Yeah. First of all, that was awesome. 6x6, both personally and professionally.
Thank you.
I decided to go with my big idea from 2015. So I don't remember, Daniel, what episode it was in, but I talked about the Career Expo.
Right.
You remember what episode it was?
I think that was episode 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know I talk about this so much, but it's a project that I've really have been passionate about and I'm very, very proud of. And so now we're in year 2, and I think that that's an interesting phase because I guess in some ways the honeymoon period wears off a little bit and you're now thinking about, okay, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to repeat? Are we trying to scale a little bit bigger? What is this going to look like? And one of the things from last year, even though we executed very well, it was a little bit last minute. And so now we're starting a little bit earlier and we have a little more experience under our belt. So I feel like we have a little more time to kind of think big. So for my 6x6 over the next 6 weeks, I want to check in with our leadership team. I was able to already schedule a meeting the next couple of weeks just to see how everyone's doing and gauge everyone's enthusiasm and ideas for this upcoming year. I want to reach out to the existing partners for feedback. Last year we worked with 4 awesome businesses and organizations, and I want to be able to talk to them just to see how their experience was from their perspective and things that we could do better, and also see if they want to come back next year. And then want to discuss with our group what are some feasible goals for summer 2016. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to take this. For example, do we follow the group of students that we originally recruited to the program? Do we think of some minor ways to keep them involved and engaged? Do we broaden the network or broaden the pool of applicants that we're selecting, adding in different schools or increasing the net number of students that we recruit? Then we also want to begin reaching out to sponsors. So I think that one of the things that we wish that we had implemented earlier was really working with organizations and allowing them a platform to say what they're about, to show what they're about, but also to help us because there's a lot of expenses that are associated with this project, and we don't want it to fall only on the church to be able to carry that burden. Fifth thing is one of the things that we're thinking about doing is actually becoming a nonprofit, and this is where I have no experience whatsoever, and so I think that it'd be really cool for me and important to learn more about the nonprofit setup and what that enables you to do as an organization. And then finally, beginning to think a little bit more about the succession plan, the infrastructure. The reality is I'm going to be starting third-year medical school. And for those of you who are teachers, generally in medical school, the first year is a year that I think is kind of a year to get your feet wet. I'm now a second year. I did 1 year of medical school, Then I did 4 years of my PhD, got my PhD, and now I'm coming back to finish medical school. So second year is relatively intense because you're learning about all the diseases and you're really getting a thorough understanding, gaining a thorough understanding of how the human body works. And then third year, you're actually going into the hospitals and rotating with different doctors. And that's where you really begin to figure out, at least have a general idea of where you want to work. Do you want to work with kids and do pediatrics? Are you the kind of guy that wants to do surgery and, be an orthopedic surgeon, for example? So that's where I'm going to be at in the summer. I'm going to be starting my third year. And thus it's very difficult for me to do as much as I'm doing outside of school. So similar to, the guy, I can't remember his name. Was it Aaron Miller? Who's the guy that cuts 15%?
Dan Miller.
Dan Miller. Yeah. I'm going to be probably cutting 70. So
that's right. Free up that time, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's important to be able to identify leaders that can step up and fill positions that I was involved in. So those are six things that I'm going to be thinking about critically over the next 6 weeks. And I think if I can really make some inroads in tackling those goals, that will be set up. Our group will be really set up well for a wonderful summer 2016.
Dude, that's a solid plan. I'm actually fired up about your 6x6.
Nice.
So, man, close us out. What do we got here?
We have a lot of awesome content. So I'm not going to talk as much about the big ideas because we talked about it a little bit earlier. But in terms of strategies, there's kind of several things to think about. The first is realizing that if you're going to take on a new idea, if you're going to take on or really explore your passion, there's only 24 hours in a day. So that means at some point you're going to have to cut certain things you're not as excited about to be able to accommodate that. As Daniel says, and it's becoming one of my life mantras, if you're presented with an opportunity and it's not a hell yes, then it's a hell no, right? So, exactly. So similarly, if this idea is a hell yes for you, then there's probably something that's a little bit under a hell yes that you're doing in your life and you're going to have to adjust. Another thing to think about is just the importance of that. If you don't take control of your career, your life, someone else will do it for you. And I think that's, you want to look back at your life and really say, like, this is where I was really proactive to really go above and beyond and to really explore myself through different organizations and different activities and opportunities. And one critical aspect of that allows you to kind of really start charting the plan for the future is reviewing what's happened in your life, reviewing the last 12 months, thinking about what you're really excited about, your major accomplishments, areas you want to improve in, what are things that really matter to you? Because again, this sets the template, this sets a platform for you to be able to go ahead and make the next step, make the next leap in the future. Then finally, as we were talking about, and I really like this, making the action plan. This brings in the idea of chunking. We talked about earlier, like breaking down a big idea into very feasible steps that you can accomplish in a distinct amount of time. And it's real when you at first it can be a little bit daunting, but just from making this list, I'm really excited about what we're doing. And I have to admit, before we did this episode, whenever I think about the Career Expo, I was, you know, I would have all these things to do and I just would end up not really wanting to write down anything because I was just so overwhelmed. But when you write an action plan and you're very distinct and very concrete about what goals you're trying to accomplish, all of a sudden things start falling into place and you see a plan for achieving that. So there's a lot of things that we've talked about today but we think that this episode can really be a wonderful jumping off point for you in 2016.
Absolutely. You know, I'm fired up from what you recapped there. I'm fired up about your 6x6. And again, we haven't created these things yet. We don't have a private Facebook group that's supported or started up a mastermind. But I know that accountability is so important in terms of accomplishing your goals. So if you're resonating at all with what IB and I are sharing, you know, and you want to maybe potentially work with us in some type of form or fashion to help you accomplish your goals, just you could do one of two things. One, you could send me an email, daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com, or you can text the word Better Mastermind, all one word, Better Mastermind. So BETTER, Mastermind, all one word, to 33444. And that'll get you on my email list in terms of saying, hey, you know, I think I would like to explore, you know, what an accountability relationship would work like, would look like working with you, Daniel. So if that's something that's interesting to you, go ahead and do that. You know, let's just have a conversation about it. One, if you think it's the right fit. Two, what you think it would be worth to you to have that type of relationship. And then we'll figure something out. So that sounds exciting to you, and I hope it does. We'll get that going.
What's our listeners' call to action this week?
The call to action is do something from what we shared. So if it's the brain dump and limiting, you know, like your 100 great ideas down to 50, 25, 10, 5, 3, and then maybe even 1, do that. If it's creating a 6x6, absolutely do that. If it is, you know, considering looking at what you accomplished over the year and eliminating 15% to free up time for a new goal, do that. If you want to explore what it means to work with IBM myself through some sort of accountability relationship, then text Better Mastermind to 33444. So that's really 4 call to actions that could be bundled into one, I could argue, because it's all about having a significant 2016. And we want to help you in any way we can to help you get there. Better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Ibe. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type NYE for New Year's Eve in the search bar, and the show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, link to all the resources, and the best ways to connect. If you have an iPhone, tap on the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear. Ibe, thanks for connecting with me here again and sharing your leadership insights and helping others, better leaders, be better.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.